Beatitudes. So today we're going to review them. I hope you all have memorized them. I hope you all know them. I want us to remember that these are the main principles, if you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. These are not secondary concepts. These are primary. And so today, before we dig into our seventh beatitude, I want to tell you a little story. Man's name was Henry, and he walked into our church about 27 years ago. He was witty, outgoing, gifted, smart, educated, and came from a wonderful family. He was poised to make a big difference in the church. So Henry came to me one day and shared with me that the Lord had blessed him in his business. And he said he wanted to share his wealth with the church. So he began giving financially, and he proved to be a very, very generous man in many of the projects that the church had. Actually, every project that was going on, he financially wanted to give. His wife and his children were wonderful, amazing children, and they all became part of our lives in the church. We were there for their births. We were there for the deaths of their family members and everything in between. They were an important part of our church. They were literally, as I would say, foundational to the church. One thing I knew about Henry, when he did something, he liked to do it big. So one day, 25 years ago, he came to me and said, "Listen, we have a chance to bring a national Christian group to Maine to minister to the whole area, Kennebunk, Arundel, everywhere." And he said, "I think it will be a really good evangelistic opportunity. And I know the whole area, the whole southern part of Maine would be blessed by it." So he asked me, "What do you think?" So I said, "Well," he wanted to know if the church would support it. So I told him I'd have to learn more about the group, and I would bring it to the elders, and I would talk to the board about it. So Henry was good. He waited, and we came, and we met, and we prayed, and we decided to support it. Now, keep in mind, 25 years ago, we were new to the area. The church was in Arundel. And so for us to do this big event was, with all the surrounding towns, was a huge event for a small church. And we knew that the people would really kind of discover who God was, and not only that, but who we are as Christians. So I wanted to be sure the integrity was good on our behalf, and we were going to be honest, and we were going to do the right thing. So the date was set, and the plans were made. Henry got really excited about the event. His wife and his children got involved with many of the people in the church. They got all the towns together. Towns made their facilities available, and then they invited everybody would come to the big event. So they did ask us a few things they asked us to do, and they felt it was important. And one was they felt like religious freedom, and they wanted us to have understanding of religious freedom in the town, and that everybody wasn't a Christian, and so we understood and we agreed. Make sense? Well, the big day came. Everything was in place. Henry did a fabulous job, coordinated all the towns. It was huge. Enthusiasm was high. Everyone was excited, and many, many people came to the event. It was a success. The speakers, the musicians, everything was wonderful. Town officials were even pleased, and they were happy to work with us. And I thought, well, what a good testimony for our church and the town. Or so I thought. The very next day, I got a call from one of the town managers, and he approached me with a flyer. He had a flyer in his hand, and his face was all red. And he said, "What is this?" I said to him, "I've never seen that before." He looked at me and said, "Well, I don't believe you. Look, here's your name of your church on this pamphlet here. We asked you not to print any materials. We told you about religious freedom and our concern in the town. When he saw the name, I was in dismay. He said that we violated the guidelines, and he said to me, please do not ask the town to help you again. We decided we won't do any kind of joint adventures with you or your church again. I was flabbergasted, upset, and I was wondering, what in the world happened? But I knew he was right. I saw the pamphlet. Our name was on it, for sure. And I was wondering, well, where did it come from? They definitely were clear with us about the guidelines. So I walked up to Henry, and in shock, I explained the whole situation to him. I thought I'd find an ally with him, but he wasn't. He actually said to me, well, that's just one of the town managers. He'll get over it. None of the people in the town knew about the fact that he was upset. Look how good the event was. I'm sure the church will grow from this. Relax. The committee decided to make copies of the flyer and give them out. We thought that the benefits to the church would outweigh the risk. I stood there with my mouth open, and I wondered, oh my goodness, what should I do? How about you? Have you ever come up against a conflict in your life? Maybe a tense relationship you're having with somebody. Maybe a broken promise somewhere in the relationships. Maybe an unmended family situation. Maybe you know that the person you're with is in sin. And you know they're ruining their lives. You may have just decided to let things blow over. Maybe you thought calling a truce would be a good idea. Stop the fighting. Maybe you just walk away. But when you walk away, you have a gnawing unrest inside of you. While there is an absence of obvious conflict, you know you have no peace. You ever been there? And so we come to this seventh beatitude. Blessed are the peacemakers, for peacemakers shall be called a child of God. Wow. Jesus was giving this first Sermon on the Mount, and this was actually the beginning of his whole public ministry. These beatitudes are controversial. Amen? If you've been here over the weeks, you would all agree the controversy he stored up when he preached to the crowd of the Pharisees, these righteous people. But this one on peacemaking was a big problem for the people, for sure. And we have to ask the question, why would the crowd be so upset to hear, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called what? Children of God. Well, let me give you a little background. The Pharisees did not like Jesus Christ. Oh, they were religious, but they did not like Jesus. You see, they wanted a fighter. They wanted a what? They wanted a fighter. They wanted a Messiah who would take an iron fist to the Roman government. They wanted someone to strangle Caesar if they could. They wanted someone to knock down the Roman government. They wanted to take out its power. Essentially, they wanted a warrior. You see, they weren't interested in anything except pushing themselves up and making big of themselves. And all the time they did that, things got worse and worse and worse. Wow. How many know the same is true today? Today there's a lot of controversy over this scripture too. And the reason is pretty much the same. Today our whole society is fighting. Yes, our whole society is fighting. And we're all fighting for our rights. We're all fighting because we believe that individually we should be exalted. Wow. Get all you can. Sound familiar? Don't let anyone take advantage of you. This kind of attitude in our world creates more strife. Wouldn't you agree? Much more strife. So when Jesus comes and says, "Blessed are the peacemakers," what an indictment to those Pharisees. Wouldn't you agree? But also what an indictment against our society too. Wow. What words. What Jesus was actually saying is, you got it all wrong. What God wants is not some spiritually elite who thinks they know it all and you have it all together. God forbid you would be that way. Jesus is looking for the poor, beggarly sinners who know he's got nothing to offer, and in knowing he has nothing to offer, seeks to make peace with God. Isn't that awesome? But I want to say to you today, we can't be peacemakers until we follow all of the Beatitudes. So let's go over them to be sure you know them, have memorized them, and most of all, you're living them. Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit. And we talked about that. Who are poor in spirit? Those are people who know that they are bankrupt. Blessed are you if you know you're bankrupt. You've tried to live life your way and it didn't work. You are blessed. Wow. Blessed are those who mourn. And we talked about people who mourn. Sometimes people say, what do you mourn over? You mourn over your own sinfulness. You are a wicked, wicked person. And you see it. And you get on your hands and face every day and you say, God, forgive me, I'm a sinner. You are blessed. Then Jesus said the third one is what? Blessed are the meek. And as I said before, meek is not weak. Amen? Meek is God's strength under control. Blessed are you if God's strength in you is under control. I want to remind you, these are not secondary teachings. These are primary for anybody who believes in Jesus Christ. 4, blessed are you who hunger and thirst after righteousness. You are a person who gets up and says, I want to do what's right. I know what's right, and I'm going to do what's right, whatever it costs. If you do, you are blessed because you are hungering and thirsting to do what's right. 5, blessed are the merciful. Yes. And I explained to you that mercy meant God gets in your skin, knows what's going on with you, and then goes to the cross and pays the price for you. Jesus Christ himself was full of mercy. And that's what he says to us and how we are to treat everybody else. Get into their skin, understand their pain and their hurt, and then pay the price for them. If you do that, you are blessed. Then he said, 6, blessed are the pure in heart. I mean, oh, that's such a blessing if your heart is pure. If your heart is like, my heart is all for the Lord. I understand that God has purified my heart. He's cleansed it. And he wants me to live in such a way that I would honor him. You have a what? A clean heart. And if you have a clean heart, you are blessed. You're depending on God. But this seventh one, blessed are the peacemakers. Wow. They're all controversial for sure. But this one, blessed are the peacemakers. This morning I want to discuss this, blessed are the peacemakers. And I really want to say to you, step one, if you're going to be a peacemaker, number one, your first step is you have got to be at peace with God. Correct? How many know if you haven't done this, you can't be a peacemaker? The first requirement is what? You. You must be at peace with God. A peacemaker is one who makes peace with God, first of all, for himself. Would you not agree? You have to do that for who? Yourself first. To be a peacemaker, you make peace with God. It means you accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. You understand that God is a God of peace, and you accept the gospel of peace. All peace comes from God. Philippians 4:9. And may the God of all peace be with you. You know that the only peace you will ever have in life is when you get in right relationship with Jesus Christ. Make sense? And now, because you're at peace with God, and you can enjoy the peace of God in your own life, now and only then can you then become a peacemaker with other people. And so, your first and most important thing, if you're going to fulfill this scripture, is to be at peace with God, first of all, for yourselves, every single day when you get up. I was reading a story about a couple in a divorce court hearing, and the couple couldn't resolve the conflict, and they were arguing and arguing, and in the hearing, they brought their little son with them. He was only 4 years old, and he got very distressed as he heard the arguing with the lawyers between his mother and father, and he would go over to his mother, and he would take her hand, and he would try to take her hand and bring it over to the father, trying to connect their hands, and then when the mother didn't move, the little boy would go over to the father and take the father's hand and try to get the father's hand to come over to the mother's hand. So he just kept pulling and pulling and pulling while the whole divorce hearing was going on. And he just kept pulling until he brought both hands together. The little boy is a peacemaker. Amen? That's what a peacemaker does. God is the only source of peace. And we know that. Without God, you have no peace. You understand that. All God's people said. Now, some Christians may not be at peace with God. You get that, right? Some Christians are not at peace with God. And so if they're not at peace with God themselves, then they cannot be peacemakers. Correct? Of course not. Look at this picture. I love this picture. You see this picture here where there's sin in your life or in my life, you actually break communion with God. Correct? And when you break communion with God, you break peace with God. And so at that point, it doesn't really matter what's going on. You can never be a peacemaker. Where there's any kind of sin in your life, you actually are going to remove yourself from the place of peace. Do you all understand this? I'm sure you do in your own life. If you are in that sin, you are removing yourself from peace. You actually have no peace with God. And so I just want to remind you, in order to be a peacemaker, first and foremost is what? You and I must be at peace with God first. And all God's people said, where God is what? Where God is, there is. And where God is not there, then there is no peace. Absolutely true. So, the question we all need to ask then is, are you at peace with God? Today, now, in this church, like right here, do you have the peace of God? You see, the menace to peace is what? Sin. Right? Menace to peace is what? Your sin. For sure. Romans 6:23. We all know it. For the wages of sin is death. And so if you're in sin and there is something inside of you that you know is not right with God, and you break that relationship, then you have no peace. Wow. I want to encourage you. Main thing for a Christian, be at peace with God. I would like to encourage you, get up every morning and just say, Lord, I want to be at peace with you all day long. How many of you are doing this? If you're not doing this, believe me, you cannot be a peacemaker. You get up and say, Lord, I want to be at peace with you. And if you have sinned, confess your sins to God right away. Just say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I've had these thoughts. I said these words. I've done things that I should have never done. What? God, forgive me. Confess your sin. Start the day off with peace. Why? Because if you don't, you cannot be a peacemaker for anybody in your life. It is impossible. Wow. I want to encourage you. Do this every day. Amen? This is your most important thing that every Christian needs to do. And without it, you will never fulfill Jesus Christ's words to you. So, step two. I really want to discuss with you, what is a peacemaker? So important that we all understand this. If you're called to be one, then we need to understand what it is. God has called us to a very special calling when he said you are to be a peacemaker. Would you not agree? We are to experience peace of God ourselves every day, and then we are to restore to everyone we know in this world around us the sin in their lives, and all God's people said. Genesis 3, that's when sin entered. And so God designs a group of special people, and he calls them peacemakers. Amen? You are to be a peacemaker. Peacemakers are God's agents, and you're in this world, to your family, to your friends, and to people in your workplace. And your responsibility as a Christian is you are there to bring peace. Wow. What a great thing, amen? To be a peacemaker. First of all, you have to understand how God defines peace. Would you not agree? Without this definition, you will not be able to do it. Jesus clearly says in John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Yes. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and please do not be afraid. Do you understand how fear works there? If you're called to be a peacemaker, then you're going to need to be fearless. I want to go over the definition as I gave you a couple of weeks ago, the definition of peace. Two words. Greek word, eirenes. Eirenes. Hebrew word, shalom. And you all know what it means? It means God's greatest good for you. What does it mean? God's greatest good for you. Wow, I love it. You know, peace is not just stopping the war. Do you hear what I said? Couldn't stop the war anyways. Peace is not about stopping the war. Peace is creating the righteousness of God that brings two parties together in love. Do you understand? Do you understand? I hope you do, because without that definition, you can never, ever fulfill that scripture. You see, when a Jewish person says to you, shalom, they are not saying, I hope you are not at war. Shalom does not mean that. When a Jewish person says to you or to me, shalom, what they're actually saying is, I desire all the righteousness of God, all the goodness of God, I desire that in you. Get this right. Please get this right. That is what it is. And that is what you and I are to do as peacemakers. You are saying to them, I want all the goodness, all the righteousness of God that he has, I want to give it to you. That is called being a peacemaker. Even when other people don't understand. And all God's people said, amen. I love that. It excites me. God's greatest good for me. God's greatest good for you. I say to you today, Irenaeus, I say to you, Jehovah Shalom. May the goodness of God and his righteousness be full inside of you. Wow. At the same time, we all know the world is ridicule with chaos, right? If there was ever a time for peacemakers, it's now. If you understand this word today, Jesus gives you, then I say, today fulfill it. It's for you now. What does it look like? I'd like to give you four principles. If you're a peacemaker, what does it mean? Number one, first, peace is far more than the absence of conflict. Correct? It's far more than the absence of conflict. It is the presence of someone. It is the presence of Jesus Christ that you are bringing to another person. Does that make sense? It's not the absence, it's the presence of Christ. And believe me, it's an aggressive good. It's an aggressive good. Never forget it. It's an aggressive good that you are bringing to other people's lives. Second, if you're a peacemaker, peace does not evade issues. The peace of God doesn't evade issues. It conquers the problem. Yes? It conquers the problem. We, unfortunately, want to avoid conflict. Let me ask you, did Jesus Christ, the greatest peacemaker of all times, avoid conflict? And the answer is what? No, no, no. He never avoided conflict, and neither should you. Wow. I remember when Rosemary and I first got married, our first argument. Where's my wife? Thank you, honey. She was good to me. I got so mad at her. I actually left the house. I got to be pretty mad to leave the house. Actually, I left for 2 hours walking in the snow. That's how mad I got. When I came back, Rosemary was in bed. Was there quietness? She's sleeping. Was there lack of conflict? Yes. Was there peace? Was there peace? There's no peace. Be clear on this. Silence doesn't mean peace. Because there's no fighting doesn't mean you have peace. Amen. Understand peace from God's perspective. Amen. Oh my goodness. There was quiet, but no peace. You see, let's take a typical argument of any relationship. Let's just say it's a husband and a wife. Are you okay with this? You see these two here? They're what? They're fighting. They're arguing. All right, so you see the absence of the one from the other does not equal peace. Correct? Correct or not? Does not equal peace. The separation from each other, what? Does not equal peace. Correct? You guys who are married, you got this down, right? There's no peace in that relationship. Why? The heart's in turmoil. The heart is in turmoil. Yes. I mean, there's a big difference between a truce and peace. You all understand that? You see, truce says you lay down your guns. You don't shoot anybody anymore. That's the world's definition, right? We have a truce. And what's the world doing when we say we have a truce? Getting more bullets, getting ready to fire the next bullet at you. And we call it a truce. But make no doubt about it, there is no peace. Correct? There is no peace. Truce is, you can say, well, I have a truce with my spouse. Well, that may be fine, but I can also tell you, you also have no peace with them either. Not biblically. Wow. You see, peace is when the truth is known. Write these down, because you're going to have to do this. Peace is when the truth is what? Known. And actually, the issue is going to be settled by truth. And when both parties speak the truth, and the two parties come together before God and embrace each other because they have the truth, this is the only way you will ever have peace. Does everyone understand this, please? Write this down if you don't get this, because you'll never be a peacemaker without this. What's required? Truth. Someone has to speak the truth. When that truth is spoken, it needs to be settled on both parties. And then both parties say, we embrace the truth. We come together because of that truth, and now we have peace. That is the peace that Jesus Christ offers. Jesus said in John 8:32, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Wow. How many like this? Let me be clear. Peacemaking is hard. But it doesn't change the words of Jesus Christ either, does it? Blessed are you if you are a peacemaker. Yes. You see, God's peace doesn't gloss over anything. You might, and I might, but God's peace, what? Glosses over nothing. His peace conquers the problem in the middle ground so that two can come together and they actually build a bridge. When that happens, you are a peacemaker. Is that hard? Let me encourage you. It will include a struggle. It will include pain. Yes? It will include anguish. And it will include strife. Do you understand? Actually, you can't have peace without those. Wow. But I want to tell you, with the pain, with the anguish, with the strife, real peace can come, but not without it. Correct? And I really want to say this before I make my next comments to you, but I want us to be clear on this. Peacemaking can take on different forms. Sometimes, peacemaking can take the form of, I told you the truth, and I'm leaving. Yes? Could you not do that? Could you not? I'm telling you the, but I'm not fighting with you. I'm walking out. You're still a truth teller, right? So you're still a peacemaker. How many know there are times when you may not, have you ever been in a time where the Lord said, tell the truth and walk out? You are a peacemaker. You can't change anybody. I will. You just be quiet. And if you do that, you are a peacemaker. I know that truth. I've experienced it. It's a wonderful thing. Quietly walking away, but telling the truth. Third, peace is never, ever sought at the expense of righteousness. Never. Never. You can never, see, do you understand this? It's never sought at the expense of righteousness. Let me explain. Hebrews 12:14. You know what it says? I love this scripture. Make every effort to live at peace with one another and be holy. You see what it says? Make every effort to what? Be at peace and? You see, you cannot have peace without holiness. Oh, you can say, Pastor, I want to have peace, but I'm not going to bring up the holiness issue. You never will have peace in your home. You will never have peace in your marriage. Why? Because you cannot separate the peace of God from the holiness of God. Correct? Oh, I know we try. But I'm sure you would say, Pastor, it's never worked. And that's right. It will never work. You see, you may not have peace between two people until they see their sin, they understand they're bitter, and they hate people, and they may even help hate you, but they resolve to bring the bitterness and the hate before the Lord, and they actually will tell you who they are, and for the first time in your life, you have a chance at making peace for the first time, but not without holiness, and not without truth. You will never have peace, and neither will I. Fourth principle of peace is this. Peacemaking involves strife. You know what Jesus said? Matthew 10:34. I did not come to bring you peace. I came to bring a sword. Tell me what Jesus knew. He knew that before you could have peace, there has to be a sword. Do you know that? Do you know that? Jesus knew it. There has to be what first? A sword. We want peace first and no sword. Jesus said, no, you will never have peace without a sword. Jesus understood the sword. And then he knew with the sword that even though it was hard and difficult, when the people would face the truth, they could now have peace. Do you understand this? Some of you do. I encourage you. It is very, very powerful. Wow, thank you, Lord. You see, we need to understand what is peacemaking and what is not. So let me begin with making a few statements to you. Biblical peacemakers are not quiet people. Biblical peacemakers are not easygoing. You understand that, right? They're not people who just say, well, I'm not going to want to create any waves. I don't want to create any problems. You are not a peacemaker. Amen? You can never be a peacemaker. Biblical peacemakers are not people who lack justice. Correct? You don't lack justice. Biblical peacemakers are not people who lack a sense of righteousness. Actually, you can never make peace unless you are righteous. Amen? Biblical peacemakers are not people who compromise. I hear this all the time. The situation is really, really hard. And all I really want is peace, so I'm going to say nothing. You are not a peacemaker. Correct? You are not a peacemaker. You are a compromiser. You are an appeaser. I don't want to say anything because I don't want the family to get all upset. You are not a peacemaker. You are an appeaser. Yeah, some of you get it, because some of you are doing it now, and you're wondering, I'm appeasing everybody. Why don't I have peace? Because appeasers can never make peace. That's why. Have you figured it out? Oh, it's hard. No wonder he said, blessed are the peacemakers. Oh, my goodness. You see, a peacemaker is always willing to say what has to be said. Are you one of those, or you can't say what has to be said? You want to go the easy route, the non-confrontational route. You will never be a peacemaker then. You have to say what needs to be said to bring righteousness. Don't forget shalom, Aaron A's. You must bring righteousness to bear to whatever the relationship problem is. And if you can't say it, you can have no peace. Amen? And I want to include this because I didn't put it up there. And you must do it in love, and you must do it in gentleness, and you must do it in respect for the other person. What do you think? That's a what? That's a peacemaker. Yes? It's what Jesus says, who he blesses. The Bible's clear. Who's he going to bless? Not an appeaser, not a negotiator, not someone who doesn't want conflict. Blessed are the peacemakers, those who bring and can speak the truth in love. Are you all set with this? I said, hey, Pastor, I just want to go home. Can we go home now? This is rough. But you know what Jesus said. I can't change the words of Jesus. Who's blessed? Who's blessed according to Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount? Tell me who's blessed. Appeasers? Negotiators? People who don't like conflict? No, you're not. None of you are blessed. I want to try to keep everybody happy. You are not a peacemaker. You ever done that? I did it my whole life. I get it. Sometimes you hear people say, I just want to keep the peace. Truth is what? You have no peace.
it's a cop-out on your part.
There's no peace. You have no true peace. You don't even tell the truth. You're afraid to tell the truth. So get it right. There's no peace in your house, and there's no peace in your marriage. Amen? So the real meaning of peace is not you just keep the peace at any cost. If you do, you are not a peacemaker. It's not you try to keep the status quo. Let's keep everybody okay. You're not a peacemaker. Can we just halt the shooting? What for? So that the rest of the people can reload? So when the truce gets over, you might shoot somebody? You might be a truce maker, but you're not a peacemaker. And the war is still going on. Oh, is there silence? Yes. But guess what? You have no peace. Wow. I guess peacemakers have to be willing to tell the truth. Peacemakers have to be willing to say that the truth is more important than hurting your feelings. Do you hear what I said? You can't be afraid of hurting their feelings. You have to tell the truth, and then you'll have a shot at some peacemaking. All God's people said. Let me go back to my story of Henry. After speaking to the town manager, I admit I was upset. I said, "Lord, calm me down." I looked around. People were congratulating each other. Everything seemed fine. Most of the people in the event were clearly happy. They turned out. Problem was, I was in conflict. Problem was, I had no peace. Should I just blow it off? Should I ignore what was said to me? Should I ignore what Henry said? It's just that one small town manager. He'll forget it. Should I ignore it? Should I go along with all the people happy and congratulating? So I prayed. I remembered what I said to you today, because that's where I went when I was trying to figure it out. Guess where I saw? Blessed are the peacemakers. And I read it, I studied it. Why? Because there's conflict in me, and I have no peace with God. Do you understand? I have no peace with God. I'm in conflict. So I understood the internal conflict. Why? And there's one thing I've shared with you, many of you, and that is you know me, and the truth about me is I hate conflict. And when things get uncomfortable, my preference is what? Don't deal with them. But when I read this, I was like, oh, my goodness. You know, I came by this honestly, this desire, a heart not to confront anybody. I grew up with it. There was always tension in my family. It was very clear. I could even actually feel it. But I had no idea where it was or even where it came from. But I knew that when I sat down at meals, everyone was out for themselves. Food we had was limited, so we had to get to the table early, eat as fast as we could. This meant that there was rarely any conversations at the table. I suppose we talked somewhat, but there was no connection with anybody in my family. We chattered, talked about school, we talked about the music, I talked about my games. But real talk? Real issues? No, that was rare. In fact, I can remember My father was an alcoholic and passing out at the table and having his head fall on the table and us walk by him like he wasn't even there. I was trained very, very well. Sad, though, isn't it? Peace? Well, if you wanted to find peace as a lack of conflict, I suppose you might come into my house and say, looks like a peaceful house, right? But that doesn't mean there wasn't anything wrong or there wasn't anything that needed to be corrected. It didn't even mean that we had good relationships. It just meant that when things got tough, we were all going to be silent and ignore them. There's nothing healthy about it. And there was no peacemaking. I never felt peace. I constantly had the tension of knowing something was wrong, even though I had no way of talking about it. Wow. But that same old tension came back 25 years ago. After I had studied it, contemplated, what are you going to do? Literally, I froze. I froze. I was like, can't be that bad. See where I'm going? I'm no peacemaker. I did say, well, Rosemary knows about this. Pastor Allen knows about this. And I love Marcia Yui. And Marcia knew about it. And guess what? They weren't okay with it. But I'm struggling. I'm struggling. And so I pushed away the uneasiness. And I, for years, I didn't really want to confront it. And so I asked myself 25 years ago, will you keep doing it this way? Will you keep living this way? The good news, I decided, no way. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I want to be called a child of God. I will stand up and I will tell the truth. No matter what happens, I am going to hunger and thirst to do what is right before the Lord. And all God's people said. It took a lot. Actually, I was scared to death, as some of you are in this room, because you're not willing to go home and do the same thing either. You're petrified. I want to tell you, do it afraid. Be the peacemaker Jesus Christ said you must be, if you want to be called a child of God. Anybody want to be called a child of God? Who's called child of God? Peacemakers. Wow. Oh, my goodness. No wonder those Pharisees didn't like that message. Amen. No wonder it's still a hard message today. But the promise of the peacemaker, let's talk about it, is what? The promise, if you do this, is what? You are a child of God. The Greek word here is weos, and it actually means to speak with dignity. It actually means God speaks as he looks at you with honor. When God sees you, he says, that man, that woman is in good standing with me. That is one of my kids. God knows which ones are his kids, doesn't he? He's chosen you to be. He's chosen us. Well, that's fantastic, isn't it? I wanted to be a peacemaker. Probably one of the first times in my whole life when I actually understood what I had done, took responsibility for it, and said, I'll change. Guess what I did? I called Henry. I said to him, I'd like to speak with you. Oh, he was elated. Good. We can talk about the next project I'm going to do. So he arrived. I did not evade the issue. I didn't gloss over it, and I didn't wimp out. I told the truth. I explained to him my concerns, And I said, what's in your heart about this? Tell me about your integrity level. Unfortunately, his response was much less enthusiastic for me. Actually, he never came back to church again. I was sad, but I was also very happy. You know why? I was a peacemaker. I told the truth. I'm going to let God deal with it. And I'm fine. And I still got my peace. Do you? Because let me tell you, if you don't have peace with God, you will never be a peacemaker to anybody you know. Nobody. I really want to encourage you. Do the hard thing. In closing this morning, I want to say to those of you who are willing, blessed are you. Blessed are you. You are blessed. You are full of the righteousness of God. You're full of the goodness of God. Regardless of what anybody says or thinks about you, you have peace with God. The most important thing you'll ever have in your whole life. Because when you lose it, you know you lost it. Wow. A true child of God must be a peacemaker. Correct? If you're a child of God. So I have a question for you. Is part of your life characterized by discord, disruptions, and really you don't seek peacemaking? Anybody? Anybody? Okay, you are? Okay, so you're one of two. Number one, maybe you're not a Christian. That's a possibility for you, correct? You're not even a Christian. Your second possibility is what? You are a Christian in sin. And so you know what to do, you still won't do it because you have disconnected yourself from God. You are one or the other. Yes? I tell you that out of love. I tell you that because my heart for you is that you would have peace with God. I pray you would have peace with God, all of you. So ask yourself, one, are you at peace with God? Really? Sitting here today, are you really at peace with God? The world's a mess, but you have peace? Is that true about you or not? Number two, are you a biblical peacemaker? Biblically, are you doing what the Word tells you to do? And three, I suppose we all have to look at it, and that is, what situation are you in now with your own children, your own spouse, your own friends? And you know you need to go and be that peacemaker. Will you go? Or will you walk out of here and say, oh, great message, but I'm not going to obey what God says. I am not one of them. Or will you look at the situation and say before God, I'll tell the truth. I'll trust you, God, that you're working. And will there be conflict? Yes. Will there be turmoil? Yes. But you'll be a peacemaker. And you can pray because it's your only hope if you really want peace and the righteousness of God. It is our only hope.